103.9 FM, WOZO Radio, Knoxville.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.
Girl, loved the mess. I watched the swirl of smoke from candles burning while Mary looked up yearning. I got confirmed and I confessed. I really felt that I was blessed. Plus, I love my uniform. So did the boy who lived next door. But something changed when I became of age. Things I thought were true. Someday I'd break the big taboo of letting go of God. Letting go of God.
Welcome to Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. We're on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM live right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Today is Sunday, June 23rd, 2019, and if it's not, then you're listening to a rebroadcast of the show and should not try to call in. I'm Dotter Five, and as usual, we have Wombat on the phone with us. Hello, Wombat.
Hello, it's the Wombat. I'm here.
Yay.
What's up?
Good, good. Digital Free Thought Radio Hour is a call-in talk radio show about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, and the sciences. And conversely, we also talk about religion, religious faiths, gods, holy books, and superstition. If you get the feeling that you're the only non-believer in Knoxville, then you're just not. There are several atheist, free-thinking, and rationalist groups that exist right here in Knoxville, and we'll be telling you how you can connect with them right after the mid-show break.
Womp.
Also, did you know that there has been an atheist call-in television show broadcasting right here in Knoxville? It has been for almost 9 years now. Did you know that, Wombat?
I did, until I had to wait for you to tell me about it. I honestly have not been watching the show, and I apologize for that.
No.
But now that I have seen it, I thought, wow, that's pretty good. And I never really pegged you as a fan of Korean drama, but I really did like
Korean
it.
Drama.
Yeah, like I think it was Hangul of Dongmyeongbak. I thought it was just really, really good.
I don't think so.
I thought
you
it was a really inspiring
show.
You must
be still on the wrong channel.
And I just think Shim Kyung is very good actor.
Yeah, I'm sure he is.
So well done. It's just so
you
well
won't
done.
Find a lot of acting on our show, though. It's a straightforward talk radio or TV show where people, atheists, take calls from live callers on a TV show in Knoxville, Tennessee. Anyway, we'll tell you how you can find it if you listen after the mid-show break. We'll give you more information about that. Also, in spite of what Steve Martin would have you think, there are an awful lot of atheist songs out there. And you'll be hearing some of them right here in this program and generally on this station as they are in rotation.
Hmm.
Today's topic, we had the Pride March this weekend all
sure
around
did.
The country.
Yeah.
We had one here in Knoxville, too. We'll be talking about that and how religions are positioning themselves as pro-gay race recently. We'll have to look into that and see what that's all about.
So this is the History Channel now.
Yeah. I didn't get to go to the gay parade this time, the Pride Parade.
No.
I had a pet emergency.
Actually, we've been to one together like about a few years back ago, and that was a really fun experience.
Did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember I went there in my white t-shirt and never felt any more ever outclassed as far as fashion went. Just go there. I recommend if you go to one of those things, dress colorfully or else you'll stand out.
For sure.
You'll stand out. But yeah, Atheist Society had a good showing.
We brought up a couple of banners with us, and we had several of our members come in to march in support.
Yeah.
I saw the pictures this time. Like I said, I didn't get to go. I had a pet emergency where my dog was very sick, and I had to take her to the vet.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And the only time he had it open was at 11 o'clock, which is when everything was going to be really going.
Okay.
So I had to miss the whole thing, but I really missed doing it.
Is everything okay right now with the dog?
Yeah, she's old. She's 11. She's a purebred, so she doesn't. She's in a bad way. Her kidneys are failing, I think. But we're trying to remedy the situation, see how much of it we can do it. But, well, it just happens. It's part of life.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, there's still nothing like... I mean, it's a good friend. I have my cat in my room right now, too. I'm slowly growing more and more attached to him as I've had him for the couple of years. So, yeah.
You mean your cat dog?
Yeah, my cat dog, yeah. I forgot to put him out of the room, so right now he's just, like, meowing and scraping at my knee at the moment. But, yeah, it's good to have furry friends. I hope everything pulls through for the better.
For sure. Furry family.
We do have a Pride March in Nashville as well. I had gone up to as far as Franklin, which is just south of Nashville, like on Friday, but they have them all over the world. You're right, or like all east, as far as the country's concerned, like as far as Americans concerned, all over the world, right? What's really fun though is how you know so many different people show up to these kinds of events. I know Sunday Assembly has a table that's positioned up there. There's some really fun street epistemologists out there doing conversations even right now. It's a two-day event in Nashville. But you also get a surprising show up of religious groups that show up, some in opposition, some in support. And it's really interesting to see the variety of people who come to events like this. I think even when we were marching, we had a church in front of us, right, who was marching in front of us in support of gays, and then we also were being screamed at by Christians on the side at the same time too. It was a weird juxtaposition.
Yeah, what was strange was just seeing people's faces drop when they walked by with the atheist banner.
Really?
Like, yeah, they just. I mean, this was back when we did it, not this year, of course. I didn't see it this year, but you know, we'd go by and they'd think we're just another gay group or something, but they'd read our banner and see that we're marching in support of the gays.
Yeah.
But we're actually an atheist group, and they just like, and they wouldn't say anything most of the time, but yeah, sometimes you get yelled at.
So
I mean, just for not having the same beliefs as they do.
I guess I've been in the rabbit hole for too long. Why would it be more surprising to see atheists? I guess from the perspective of like a religious person, why is it more surprising to see atheists in support of gays compared to Christians in the same parade in support of gays? Like, when
I don't, I don't think that it's the point that we were there in support of the gays. I think it was just that we exist. That they didn't expect to see us.
A
presence, as it were.
Sure, that could be really surprising for a lot of people. Cause
I know it is. I sit out a lot, you know, like in these tables, and you'd be surprised how often somebody comes up and says, "Well, one," they say, "what's an atheist?" And I have to explain to them that there are people in the world who don't believe that God is real. I mean, they're that far removed from it. And other people who just look at it and tell you, "I live my life for Jesus," and walk away. They don't even want to acknowledge that we exist.
And then when you actually see them face to face, it's like, oh, it's those people the entire time. Wow, I had no idea. Though I would say, just because we're atheists doesn't necessarily mean that we're in support of gays. Tends to be the case. Atheists only agree on like one question. That said, though, and that question is, do you believe in a God or not? And if your answer is anything other than yes, guess what? You're an atheist. But the idea of not being controlled by a dogma as far as how you think really frees you to hold opinions that aren't necessarily, you know, prescribed by an authoritarian spiritual advisor or by a omnipresent supernatural God that just happens to hate people he created himself, or you know, stuff like that. And because of that, and you have like these really good critical thinking faculties that you're born and can exercise, you tend to realize, hey, a humanistic outlook is beneficial for me and beneficial for everybody else who seem to be in my immediate environment. And if I can treat people the way how I want to be treated and the way how they want to be treated, that'd be a lot better than just doing it based on whatever a book tells me to. So I don't have a reason to hate these people. And if they're being subjugated, that's not cool because they're just like me. We're all people here. Let's be nice to each other.
Yeah. And most of the mainstream or liberal churches anyway are coming around to that because they realize that it's really hurting their attendance if they come down and hate.
You mean that passing
man.
Bowl? That passing bowl is hurting them in the hat that passes around in the middle?
Yeah, that bowl.
Post-sermon bowl.
Yeah.
How is it hurting it? Like, you would think only the, I mean.
Well, I mean, if you feel that love is love and the homosexuals have every right to exist, you know, in spite of what the Bible says, you know, some religious take Jesus' word as, you know, treat other people as you would have them treat you, and think that the Old Testament admonitions against homosexuality are passe and not really part of the new covenant of Jesus' teaching. Mm. And then you go to church and you hear a preacher up there condemning homosexuality.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, they're going to think twice about giving that preacher money. And they're going to vote with their wallet, as it were, and move on.
And before we even go with the, well, my pastor doesn't say that, like, you've heard of, like, the 700 Club. You've heard of, you know, popular televangelists. You can go on YouTube and see these people condemning not only gay people, but blaming storms, tropic events, earthquakes on them. And then, and while the pastor may not necessarily say, hey, I endorse all these things, they would definitely say, hey, I watch good shows like the 700 Club or good shows with values like this or that. And those have a history of not being very good to very different kinds of people. And I'm just sitting back amazed sort of like how the story's been changed in the last 20 years. I'm actually kind of impressed how gay people get it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd like to know.
I'm taking notes.
Yeah, let's mention the deputy sheriff in Knoxville. Hmm. Who is a detective who recently was, a video went viral of him not only condemning gay people, anybody in the LGBTQ community says should be killed.
Hmm.
And this is a public servant, an authoritarian figure in Knoxville, you know, a deputy sheriff with the detective powers. And he was summarily removed from his duties, and as far as I know, he hasn't been removed from his job yet, but, you know, people in Knoxville just won't put up with that kind of stuff. Killing of gays.
Yeah.
And he was preaching. He was a preacher on the side. This is what he did on Sundays. And he was preaching that from the pulpit.
Right. And the crazy thing is, you don't even have to, like, search that hard for other people saying it. I mean, it does exist. But just go to the Bible. There's multiple examples of the Bible condemning homosexuality in basically every form. You go as far back as the Old Testament to the New Testament, Leviticus 18, Leviticus 20. You shouldn't lie with a man as you would with a woman. It's an abomination. And you can go as far into the New Testament as you want. Acts 8, Romans 26, 27. I don't know all of them off the top of my head, but there's multiple. Let's see. I can probably pull up a list if you'd like, but hey, I'm just saying, a quick search, even as far as Wikipedia or Google is concerned, just the Bible and homosexuality, nothing charged with that search. Just look that up and you can find multiple examples of Bible not liking the gays very much.
No, for sure. And what's funny is that Jesus, theoretically, the new covenant, didn't say anything about gay. It didn't say anything about homosexuality.
Hmm.
And he ran around with, what, 13 other gay or other guys? And you know what was really funny? If you read the Bible about the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus was having his trial of the soul, as it were, and asking God to take away the cup from his lip because he didn't want to be tortured and killed.
Sure.
When the authorities did come and get him, you know who they found there in addition to him and his disciples?
No. Who?
A naked young man.
Womp. How'd that get there?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
We were just all over the place, though, back then. That's how it was.
Yeah. Read that area in the New Testament.
Also, a good refresher. I talk to people. This is how short our time or memory span is. But there are people who forgot, like, we had Obama as president for, like, 8 years.
Yeah.
Because I'll be talking to people who's just like, oh, I can't stand how U.S. politics are always like this. Is just like, do you know, it was like almost flipped on its head, like, you know, just as few as like maybe 5 years ago ish about, like, completely different. And everyone was just, well, I don't know. Here's the point I'm trying to make. We were trying to fight in America to have marriage equality for a long time. And it was very rare to have people who were on the religious side say, yeah, I'm totally for, you know, gay, what people want to marry. What we had was the sanctity of unions, or like they have their, you know, they have their thing, which is like their common law sort of situation. But we have marriage. Marriage belongs to us. Marriage is a Christian right. It's between a man and a woman. And that had been the sell since before Obama's came into office to while he was fighting to get that, you know, equivocated. And then finally when it became a federal, you know, right for gay people to also be able to get married, that's when, you know, 3 years down the road, it's like, well, of course, I'm totally for gay people getting married. In the church, we always supported that. Why is this a big deal? That's why we're here at this wedding. Here, by the way, take these flyers. We'd love to have you come over and participate. You said you're a doctor. We'd love 10% of that paycheck. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
So
sure.
It's a silly thing, but it's
Well, what gets me is that, you know, until like the 1500s, the Christianity didn't want to have anything to do with marriage. It wasn't anything that they got involved in.
What? Oh, really? Yeah. I had no idea. Yeah. I thought it was like 1500s. Yeah. They want anything to do with marriage.
Around the 1500s, yeah. And then, you know, they said, yeah, that's, you have to be married in the church. Mm. They started imposing that. Mm. And the thing about it is, you know, it's like one man and one woman. No, not according to the Bible.
What?
You can have man and many wives and concubines.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You
that's
can have
true.
Man and woman and woman's property.
Yep.
You can have man and woman and woman and woman.
Yep.
You know, like, which is currently going on in Islam right now.
Or Utah.
Your rapist and his victim, if you, as long as he pays his father, her father 50 shekels for damaging the property.
Yeah.
Prisoners of war, the male soldier and prisoners of war.
Slaves, basically,
Yeah, male slaves and female slaves. It's just all over the place.
Hmm.
Pretty much anything a man wanted to do in biblical times, he could do as far as, you know, controlling women.
Yeah.
But now, if you, they only have one story. It's one man, one woman, no more. That's it. Like, it's been that way for thousands of years, and it hasn't.
Can I, so like, I'm reading up on medieval history right now, like early England, early France, back in like the 1100s. And it turned out like when Catholicism was slowly becoming more popular, marriage was a thing that was seen as like only something that lords and kings and dukes would do, like really, really high tier people. And if you were a peasant, or if you were like, you know, where I am now, compared to those people back then, if I wanted to get married to someone, it's just an agreement that I have with their parents. I pay them a dowry, and then I own like their daughter, and I pay them some fees, and now that's how the agreement goes. But I guess I can see how, you know, over a period of time, people are looking at that and they're like, hell yeah, I want to be special. I want to feel fancy. Yeah. How can I do that? And the church is like, oh yeah, just do it over at where we're at. And it only costs, you know, XYZ amount of money and stuff like that. And next thing you know, it became an industry for a lot of people to go to the church to get married. I can see something like that evolving.
Well, let's not forget the institution of first night too, that was endorsed by the church. If you were a peasant and you got married, then the earl or lord or whatever had the right of first night with your bride.
No way. That's real? I thought that was only in Game of Thrones.
No.
I thought that was in Game of Thrones.
No.
That's Bruce Bolton. No. That's the evil guy from Game of Thrones who would do that. That's not a real thing.
Well,
is that a real thing?
You know,
man.
Do it. Yeah.
That's terrible.
You know, it wasn't global. It was mostly in Europe. And
England. That's so bad.
But yeah, it is bad.
That's.
But the thing about it is, who crowns the king? Who literally puts the crown on the king and gives him his right to rule over other people? The church. The bishop.
Man, that's messed up. I'm kind of flabbergasted. Where do you go from there? That's pretty messed up. Let me tell you, I will say this. There's a really messy history between, I would say, not only just like gay rights and the church, but marriage in general, I guess is what we can say. We kind of got off on a tangent. But basically, the church has a really dirty history with regards to how people should treat other people. And it's interesting how over time, they always evolve towards a more contemporary point of view, which puts them further away from what their black and white text instruction manual for how to please God explicitly puts it. Like, if it says, if God says, hey, gay people are an abomination, they're saying, no, God loves everybody. It's like, you're not saying what the Bible's saying. And when the Westboro Baptist Church goes out with their signs and says, hey, you guys are terrible people. We hate you because you're gay. We hate you. We hate you. We wish you went to hell. at least they're actually representing what their holy book says. Right.
Right, and the people who says it doesn't mean that are being at least a little dishonest.
Right, right, or hypocritical to an extent, right?
Right.
Because I agree that we should, I agree that those people are being mean, the Westboro Baptist Church and so on, like those huge fundamentalists, and I agree that I think everyone should be able to get along with each other, but you can't hold the book that gives them the same, you can't hold their the Westboro Baptist Church's same manual and say also I think everyone should love each other. It's like, because that's not what your book says. And if you're going against your book, maybe you're more on the side of the atheists than you think, if you're listening to this, because we've never advocated for, you know, hate against groups of people, but if certain fundamentalists are doing it, at least they're following what their book says. And I find, as much as I, so a lot of people said, we had a Satanist on the show a couple of weeks back, who says, I find no value in these groups of people, like these fundamentalists. In my opinion, my value that I see in them is that they are representing their scripture accurately. And that should be held as an example of why you shouldn't do the same thing, too. Yeah. Because
and
at least they're doing
that's really basically the problem. These books never change.
Right.
I mean, it's like how progressive was is Iran and Iraq and them back during the 60s? You know, they were coming right along. They had women's rights. They had progressive clothes and stuff. But their books never change either. And they had this group of Brotherhood of Muslims, you know, who came up and shamed the rest of the population for not following the book. And before long, they had the power, and the people were right back in the Middle Ages again.
Right.
You know, and that could happen with the Christian Bible.
Yeah.
You know, if we have a few people in power that take, you know, like, well, I don't want to go to the current administration, but he is supported by an awful lot of
knuckleheads,
evangelical Christians who would like nothing better than to bring back slavery and male-dominated society and you know, throw out all immigrants or anybody of color.
Right.
You know, this is what the book supports, and the book never changes, which is dangerous, to say the least.
And what's crazy is you can go on Google and you can search like Iran 1960 or something like that, and you would not be able to tell the difference between what you're looking at and like I don't know, an 80s version of Seattle or like. You know, just like what people looked like as in America,
which was
in the 70s,
which was the shining beacon of the world at the time.
It's actually kind of crazy. It's crazy what you can do when you become not necessarily complacent, but willing to just follow
blindly.
A dogma blind, not even blindly, because I'm sure there was some repercussions and people who are trying to fight it. But like, it's easy to lose what we have now and become what that is. And what's scary is how insidious, you know, these dogmas can become, where they sneak in by saying, you know what, we always said slavery was bad. We always said women have rights. We always said gay people were okay. Just come to our church. It's all good. And then as you develop your family with them and you get that better relationship, then you start reading like the more, you know, critical parts of the text and realize, well, this community isn't following it. Maybe we should just amp it up a little bit. And either you do or you go to another community that does have more fundamentalist perspectives. And next thing you know, you're becoming more and more radicalized, even in what we consider a very Western religion. And
Because the people that aren't following you or following God are against God.
And you love God.
Be eliminated, right?
And there's nothing more scary than dying, and you know that you're going to die. So you want to get right with them, even if it means you have to move to another city and become a bigger member in a more fundamentalist church. It's kind of insane. There's this idea that Matt Delante has been saying a number of times, but it's just like an atheist perspective is like you wake up every day knowing that the grand majority of people believe in something that they don't have a good reason to believe. And it feels sort of like you wake up in the Twilight Zone, right?
You're
just like, what?
And you never know who you're going to meet, you know, day in and day out, going shopping or whatever. And you know, they could be off the deep end. You don't know until you talk to them.
And it's all good on the front. Like, they got they look like they can iron their clothes. They look like they can shop and eat healthy. But then it's just like you crack open that lid and you're just like, what's in here? I can't believe it. It's sort of like cleaning your dishwasher disposal. You're just like, the top of the sink looks good. But as soon as you lift up that like little rubber stopper and you look into that thing, you're like, there's blades and rust and like all kinds of like half eaten food and stuff. You're just like, whoa. I'm just going to put this rubber stopper back on and pretend nothing happened.
Yeah. Sometimes I see these cars with, you know, all kinds of Jesus stickers and stuff all over them.
Oh, yeah.
And I used to hate seeing them, but now I'm just happy for the warning. Yeah. The wide berth.
No, it's true. Same way how I feel about, like, the Confederate flags. It's like, thank you for doing me a courtesy of letting me know I shouldn't get to know you. Like, stuff like that is always helpful. Uh-huh. But the weird thing is, like, I guess big takeaway points, religion tends to try to modify itself to whatever the popular culture is. I think it's inherently been birthed by whatever the most popular view of the culture that it was made by had at the time. And even up to today, it still morphs itself in a way where people can hold on to, like, the big sell of the religion while also not challenging anything that they might see on a regular basis. That way they can continue to maintain that cognitive bias where they're like, oh, God's real, but also gay people can get married now. That's not a big deal because in my understanding of God, God's love. So it's done. Don't worry about it. I don't even have to read this Bible. I'll have my pastor do that for me. And as long as he doesn't tell me anything challenging, we're all good.
Right. It's so frustrating.
It is.
When people just refuse to acknowledge reality and just go off on their own, I don't know, magical world, and you no longer can communicate with them intelligent.
And I think it would be worthwhile to at least just bring up at this point, like, the whole idea of, like, what the angry atheist is, like, we're frustrated because of that, not necessarily on, like, on a personal level, at least not on a personal level anymore for me. I used to take it personally. I was like, Mom, why do you do this? Why do you believe this? Sister, why do you think this? This makes no sense. Right. Like, this honestly makes no sense. But I'm not so much personally trying to chastise them. I'm just saying, like, you put yourself in the situation that I got out of, where I can clearly see that you believe this without having a good reason to believe it, or, like, your standard of evidence was so low that you're easily deceived, even by good intentions, into buying into this bad dogma.
And it's driven by fear.
Yeah, and I'm wondering, yes, it's driven by fear, exactly. And I'm wondering, like, why can't you just not believe that anymore? And you can't necessarily tell someone that, because it won't change the way how they believe, but it's that frustrating idea of, like, I love you and I want the best for you, but you're clearly doing something that's not in your own interest.
Right.
What can I do to tell you? What can I do?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Mm-hmm. This anger that you're talking about, I can't talk about atheists and anger without mentioning Greta Christina.
Go for it.
If the listener would like to know more about angry atheists, then you might want to read her blog. Do a search for Greta Christina, angry atheists. She wrote a blog that says 50 reasons why atheists are angry and have every right to be. And it took off so well, explaining atheist anger, that she went ahead and turned it into a book called 99 Reasons. So I recommend that the listener look it up and find out a little bit more about why atheists are so angry.
Don't you have a blog post on it as well? Why atheists are angry, or something like that?
I probably mentioned it in several blogs, but I don't think I dedicated one to it.
Oh, that would be
I may have.
Yeah, that'd be a fun thing to put in. We can put it in the ACA's newsletter for atheism. By the way, you're well published in that newsletter, so I'm glad you finally got copies of that and are now aware of it.
Yeah. Well, good.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay, so we are 1 minute away from the bottom of the hour. How about we just break for a mid-show break?
All right.
Do you want to do the break?
Sure.
Go for it.
Whenever you're ready.
All right, it's 103.9 FM, Wozo Radio, low power. We'll come back after the break. Stay tuned.
Sounds good.
All I know is that the world spins too slow. realizing it's all true. That when it's done, they'll all forget about you. I've been learning where there's yearning, there's burning when you're young, waiting to get old. So all I did was count the days I'm still a kid while I was young, waiting to get old. Then you wake up realizing it's all true, that when it's done, the world will spin without you. Oh, you think you'll be young forever. Oh, you think that this lasts forever. Don't you think Granddad might know
Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.
Simply the best.
You're listening to the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO 103.9 LPFM in Knoxville, Tennessee. Feel free to join in on the conversation at 865-333-5937. That's 865-333-5937. And now, back to the show. Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.
Simply the best.
Welcome back. I'm Doubter 5, and this is Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio, 103.9 LPFM, live right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Well, we're continuing on with our show of June 23rd, Sunday, 2019. And if you're not listening on that date and time, then you're listening to a podcast or a rebroadcast. Okay, now let's talk about the free thought groups that you can join right here in Knoxville. First, there's the Atheist Society of Knoxville. Founded in 2002, we're in our 17th year. ASK now has about 950 members, and you can find us online at KnoxvilleAtheist.org. Matter of fact, just go to Google and type in Knoxville Atheist, and you'll be there. Also, you can join ASK in person, at our weekly meetup, which happens every Tuesday evening at Barley's Tap Room and Pizzeria in the Old City in Knoxville, where we get together for food, drink, and conversation. Everybody is welcome. That is, as long as you don't come to preach, proselytize, provoke, or punch. Thank you, Atheist Experience. By the way, if you don't live in Knoxville but you still like to go to a meetup and search for an atheist group in your town, do so. That's meetup.com. Just put in your zip code and the word atheist, and you should find one near you. If you don't find one, start one. Another large free thinking group here in Knoxville are the Rationalists of East Tennessee. They've been around for more than 20 years. RET has bi-weekly presentations and discussions at the Pellissippi State Campus near Hardin Valley Road. If you don't want to remember the dates and times, just go to rationalist.org and click on upcoming events, and it'll tell you all about it. There's also a group called the Sunday Assembly, which is an atheist group that started in England just a few years ago and now has spread around the world. It's a no-God church setting for those who no longer believe in God but would still like the fellowship of a church-type gathering. However, in Knoxville, they only meet once a month. It's the fourth Sunday of each month, so we got one coming up. It'll be next week. Just go down to the 1982 World's Fair site and look for the International Building. They meet in that area. Or just go online and do Google for Sunday Assembly Knoxville. Earlier in the show, we said we'd talk about the Knoxville Atheist Call-In TV show. Well, it's called Free Thought Forum, and you can see it almost every Wednesday night between 6:30 and 7:30 on Comcast Channel 12 or Charter Channel 192. Or you can watch it streaming online at ctvknox.org. You can also find archive of some of their shows on YouTube, where a fan had been posting them. Go to YouTube and search for three words, Free Thought Forum Knoxville. Also, if you're interested in getting involved with the TV or this radio show, you can come to an Ask Meetup or RET meeting and talk to us about it. You could be our next co-host or guest. You still with us, Wombat?
I'm so here. I'm ready to go.
Okay. Now we're going to be talking about cognitive dissonance and the gay movement and the church.
Yeah, basically. That's what we've been planning about for the full first half of the show. Basically, hey, we got Pride Week coming up. There's a lot of religious support for it, but it wasn't always the case that they supported gays. And now they're pretending as if their history never happened. And it's it's too convenient to ignore, because if we get that complacent, that could lead us to some big problems in society. Look at Iran. Look at, just basically look at history. We have a bad history of letting, if you want to look, for example, look at the Salem witch trials, where it's just people you have a bunch of people who look distinguished, who are puritanical. All of a sudden they start believing in witches. And then once the witch trials are over, it's we don't really take that seriously. Yeah, but you killed a lot of people in the process of doing that. And you did it because you had a low standard of evidence and you're listening to a dogma more than your own critical faculties. So use them. And it tends to be the case that atheists rely on those proportionately more than someone who, you know, lets religion decide all their major decisions. But we've been, you know, dogging on religion for a while. I'd like to figure, what could we do better? Like, where's our path forward? What do you think could actually be done? Whether you're religious or not, let's talk about maybe the religious side. What could they actually do better as a means of getting better at treating people, but also recognizing the history of how they've treated people? Like, how can that, where's their path forward? What do you think?
What, churches, religions?
Or, yeah, like, say you're a Christian person right now, you do like gay people, you never hated gay people before, but you do love Jesus, or you do love God.
The first thing you can do is evaluate the stance that your church is taking on it. And if they're preaching hate from the pulpit, then find another church. There are many churches out there who embrace the differences in humans and the different types of love that are out there, and recognize that, you know, that their statement that God is love is all encompassing, and it doesn't break down, you know, love of this is bad and love of that is good.
Oh, that's actually, you know, really good piece of advice.
Find a church like that.
There are many of them out there. Can I make a recommendation? I think the Unitarian Universalists would be a really, really good church to check out. UU is what they call themselves. And while they, I believe the basis of the church is that it doesn't matter what religion you are, or it doesn't matter even if you don't have a religion at all, you are welcome to come to the church. They meet every Sunday. It's like a typical congregation. But they will have bits and pieces from everything. When I went there, Lexington in Kentucky, they had certain services that were just about Carl Sagan talking about the universe. They had some that were talking about really nice people who were Catholics. They had nice origin stories from Japanese Shinto culture. Just a really, really nice place to be if you want to really do embrace the idea that everyone is worthy of love and fellowship. And I think it's a really positive place to express that.
Yeah. And you can find a path forward that, let me drop back a second to what Jefferson did, Thomas Jefferson. He realized
the Bible?
there's so much problems with the Old Testament. From the Ten Commandments, which really aren't about morality, especially the first four commandments, has nothing to do with morality. And the rest of the commandments are common to every other religion.
Yeah.
And they're not,
not only
you know,
that, but they predate
not,
the Bible.
And they're not that good in certain situations. Like, sometimes you have to lie to protect lives or relationships. But anyway, he took out the Old Testament, he threw it out altogether. And he took the New Testament, threw away all the miracles, because according to David Hume, miracles can't happen. And I can go into that later. I've gone into it in the show before. But what he had left was a very thin book, and the listener can go on online and Google the Jeffersonian Bible right now and get a copy of it and see what it looked like. And I think that could be a good direction. One thing that gets me, when I talk to people on the street, and I set up a little table like you do, and I talk to people specifically about religion, and I say, well, what about the people in the Catholic Church? Or what about the people in, Muslim? Aren't they going to go to hell? Isn't their faith wrong? No, they say they're worshiping God in their own way. Well, if that's the truth, if that's the way it is, then you can use any religion you want to. Why would you stay with one that preaches that homosexuals need to be stoned to death?
Yeah.
Why won't you pick a religion that's a little more humane?
Yeah.
If all of them point to God and all of them...
why not pick a better one?
Like, right, exactly.
Yeah, there are some really good religions you can have out there if that's the case. Flying Spaghetti Monster could be a really good one. You could pick one that enjoys bacon. Like, could you imagine if you could just pick a religion that was just like, hey, if it's the same thing, I'm going to pick the one that's going to have parties every
Friday.
That's
what they tell me. You know, is it true?
No.
And if that's true, then go for it. Do what you want. Make up your own religion. You know, worship God in your own way. I mean, don't we all interpret what God wants us to do?
So then you get into the realm, and the only thing I caution about this is you get in the realm where people who are say, well, I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. And what they mean by that is I try not to prescribe to any particular religion because I can see why it's a problem. But I also refuse to let go of the idea that there isn't something greater than me because everybody else seems to believe that. And death is still scary. And the only thing I respond to that is, don't you care if your beliefs are true? And if they, it could be true that there's some sort of spiritual entity out there, but rather than leave me a loose thread that could potentially get grabbed by somebody and used against me, I just want to say, hey, if it's true, I'm willing to believe it. If it's not true, I don't want to believe it. And if I want to believe something, I care more about whether or not the belief is true than whether or not it makes me feel good, or if it makes me feel connected or makes me feel like I'm part of a bigger system.
Right. But once you find what is true, build a religion around it. I mean, if you want to, if you need religion. But half the time I tell people, you know, when they tell me the things that are important to them, I try to tell them, you don't really need religion for that. You can do that. So, even if they would like to follow the teachings of Jesus, fine. But you don't have to follow the religion if you don't want to. You just follow the example that Jesus has set.
At least the nice examples that you cherry picked out of the New Testament.
Right. And that's another reason that you can say that morality doesn't come from the Bible, or at least Christian morality itself, because they pick and choose what they think is good and what they think is bad, and they follow the good stuff, and they're using a separate moral system to do that. That means they don't get their morals from the Bible, because if they did, they'd say everything in the Bible was good.
I am wondering, though,
that would be their moral system.
You had said, basically, find something that you think is true and make a religion out of that. But it doesn't necessarily mean that because you have a religion that you worship anything, because you could also have, like, theistic or atheistic religions where it's just like, I appreciate life, I'm just going to appreciate life. Like, almost,
well, I mean, if you, like, you're going to call Taoism and Shintoism and Buddhism. Religions,
Jainism, all that stuff.
Yeah, they don't worship a god.
Right.
They try to make their life better. They try to become more enlightened.
Yeah, it's
as
like,
they live their lives.
It's an ethic to basically enhance your well-being on a less of a physical, but more of less like a personal relationship with the things that are around you and having a good positive outlook and stuff like that. So like, I can get that. Again, I wouldn't need, you won't net, if your religion is, hey, if your truth is, hey, I don't need a religion, you don't even have to make a religion out of that. You can just be like, hey, I'm fine without a religion. I'm good being irreligious, right? But if you need that religion, you don't need the dogmatic weight that comes along with it. Like, if you, exactly as Larry, as you said, if you love what Jesus taught, and it's the positive stuff that Jesus taught, because he taught some pretty crazy stuff too. You can definitely live out those positive morals and ethics that he, you know, expressed, but without having to believe anything else in the Bible. Like, really, to be honest with you, if you think,
well, not only that, but you don't have to limit yourself to one hero version.
Ooh,
you can
that's
take what you like from Jesus, or some from Gandhi, or some from Martin Luther
Aristotle?
King, some from,
yeah.
Yeah, whatever you like. Find your role models and pick the best things about them and emulate them. But you don't need religion to do that.
And to be honest with you, that is basically the humanistic approach of learning how to treat people better. It's learning from other people, learning from our mistakes, learning from what we did right, balancing the consequences of our actions, and listening to people who've had a lot of experiences doing that, and trying to mold a model that makes you a better human and treats other people with better humanity. And if we all work at that together, could you imagine how crazy we would be? Like, people would look at pictures from 2019 and be like, whoa, these guys haven't figured it out yet. And then, like, 10 years later, it's like, whoa, we're in the Matrix. It's amazing. So much better. So much better. I think honestly, what we're basically just saying for anyone who's in the situation where we had described at the beginning of the show is that you don't need your religion to like gay people. You don't need their permission to like gay people either.
Right.
If you felt like, hey, gay people were already cool and I'm just supporting them, that's not only something you don't need your religion for to give you permission to say, but if you're cool with it already, maybe you should find a different church to belong to or go to that is a better representation of humanistic values, because that's how you get better at treating people as humans. And that's how you feel right. better as a human being, to be perfectly honest with yeah. you, too. It's yeah. when you treat other people yeah. in that loving, right. compassion way. Live it out. Don't just yeah. say you follow the rules, but actually demonstrate the rules. And let's yeah. say we're wrong. Let's say, you know, Doubter 5 and me are wrong, and there is a God, and he's really, really upset with, like, most of the things we said in the show. If that God was like, hey, I wanted you to hate gay people, I made them specifically for you to hate, that's probably not the God I'd want to worship anyway. But if that God was like, hey, I don't care if you worship me or not, I think what, you know, Wombat and Doubter 5 said was true, just learn to love people, learn from all these other people in history who figured out how to do it in their ways, and try to come up with your own way to do it in the most positive way possible. That, still, in my opinion, isn't God worth worshiping. But I would also say that's probably the God that's much more down that spectrum, as far as like, hey, that's a good guy that you should make a religion out of in comparison.
Yeah.
So if you yeah. if you have a God that says, hey, gay people are an abomination, in his black and white holy textbook,
right.
that was,
well, it says in the book. Yeah.
yeah, I'm just like, that's probably not the being that you want to be privy to. And if you have an interpretation, that's
they should be Go made ahead. To pay a social price for that kind of thing.
Ma.
Like, ma. I don't want to be their friends. You know, and why would you?
Hmm.
You know, if they interpret, the, if they take it at literal value.
They're now, definitely I've had, back.
Yeah, I've had religious people say, or I've heard religious people say, yeah, but my neighbor is a, you know, homosexual couple with the kids. And how am I going to explain that to my child?
Hmm.
Well, it's easy. You set them down and say, you know, the people next door, they're two daddies, you know,
yeah.
and they love each other, and they have children.
Yep.
You know, they adopt children. End of story. That's it. That's yep. all you have to tell them. They love each other, and they want to build a life. And they have two daddies. We have a daddy and a mom, and some people will have two mommies.
Yeah.
It's just the way the world works.
I remember when I was being dropped off at elementary school when I was uh-huh. really young, and I heard on the radio in California that it was around the time when gay marriage was just legal, but then it was going to be taken away, and I didn't know about it being taken away. I just heard about it just first becoming legal, and I was like in the third grade. And I heard it on the news, mm-hmm. and it was like, this lady married another lady. And I heard that as a kid who had no context
yeah.
of the situation. I was like, oh, I didn't even know
sure.
that was an option. And I got yeah. out of the car, and I just went to school for the rest of the day. And it
right.
was just one of those things, just like, oh,
yeah.
I didn't
right.
occur to me that was a possibility, but sure, whatever. That's not a big deal. And
I
just kept living my life. And then only later on, much later on, did I realize, oh, this is a big deal people care about. But I was just like, you can explain that to a kid. That's not going to be world-shattering information for them, basically.
Right. No, I agree.
Yeah. But, yeah, so positive things that we can take away from this discussion. There are a lot of churches out there that actually do support living with other people that are different from you, have different values, and actually expressing love with each other. You can find them. I would recommend Unitarian Universalists if there's one, or like a chapter near wherever you are as the listener.
Yeah.
I know there's a really good one up in Lexington. I had a lot of fun there.
Yeah.
If you don't like
and
that...
There's some...
Oh, go
there's some Methodist churches here locally that are very accepting.
Oh, that's cool.
That's one of them. Yeah. And some Presbyterian.
Okay.
But, you know, you just have to search around. There are going to be exceptions to the rule.
Also,
go to a church.
Yeah, check out
if
the Sunday Assembly.
Stuff that you don't like and don't agree with, don't be afraid to get up and walk out.
Yeah.
And vote with your feet and your wallet and find a church that's accepting of people, of humanity, and gives everybody a chance,
and not just recently accepting. Like, find something that is by its own creed accepting of others, not just like, oh,
yes.
gay people can be married now. Okay, that's
yeah.
what we always said. It's like not 4 years ago. Come on, get
remember, yeah, remember, everybody worships God in a different way, right?
Hmm.
Find your way, but find one that's accepting of your fellow man.
Hmm.
And let me back off of that.
Yeah.
I'm saying what they would say, what they have said to me many times. The Christians say everybody worships God in their own way.
Yeah.
Now, atheists
Someone's
don't believe
that
God is real. So they
you.
Don't. They are the people that don't worship God because we don't feel they exist.
Hmm.
Gods are not real.
I wonder if there's a special term for someone who doesn't worship. Like, is there like a worshiper? Like, I know I don't believe in a God, and I know
you
I
who
don't
believe.
Know.
Yeah, they're deists.
Oh, deists don't believe,
believe
in a God. Oh, deists believe
no,
in a God.
No, deists. Right, but they don't. They don't one think Well, there's several different kinds of deists.
Yeah.
Some deists think God created the universe because it takes a God to create a universe, but he could have died or got blown up in the explosion or went away to another universe after that. He's not here. Hmm. There are other deists who think he created the universe and he's hanging around, but he doesn't care about us.
Hmm.
He's doing something with other planets or something. We don't know. Other deists think that he's here and he's the universe itself. He created the universe from himself and he's the universe, but he doesn't involve himself with human prayer and interaction. Deists don't feel that there's a personal God interested in us.
No doubt.
But they feel that there was a God that started the universe. So they don't worship him.
But I wonder if there was, but I figure
they
all
worship
deists,
the universe.
All deists are theists. They believe in a God, whether that God still exists or not.
Right.
But I'm wondering, right, is there a term that says I don't worship, regardless of whether or not I believe or don't believe, or whether or not I know a God exists or does not exist, whether I'm an agnostic or agnostic, atheist or theist, I don't worship any God. Is there a word for that?
I don't know.
I think it used to be heathen.
That's a new one to me.
Okay, I'm going to look that up. Maybe we can figure something out, because that might be an interesting route to describe myself as. This is like, I just don't worship any being. Like, I figure any being that asks to be worshipped isn't worthy of worship, so I don't worship any beings. Like, that's my prerogative. And it's like, oh, well, do you believe in God? I was like, no, I don't believe in God. I'm an atheist, still, also. I don't know. Some mind thinking about it. Anyway, that's the end of the show, guys. That was some weird mental floss going on. But, hey, I had a fun time. Larry, you want to close out?
Well, yeah, as usual, I'd like to say, ask a question for everybody to ponder.
Okay.
When did science first discover the existence of souls? Never. Never have they proven that not only do souls exist, but do they have any evidence that souls exist at all? And so there's no reason to worry about where your soul is going after you die.
Hmm.
And according to all the religions out there, your soul would, if it exists, would be going to somebody else's hell anyway, no matter what you believe.
Hmm.
So don't worry about it. The time to worry about your soul is when they prove that souls exist and heavens and hells exist. Until then, don't sweat it. Until next week. And you?
Till next week. Bye, guys. Have a good one.
Bye. Take care.
Digital Free 103.9 FM, Knoxville.
Thank you for having me.